Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to the Bean, the long weekend edition. Well, it sort of is, depending on where you are in the country. We don't need to explain all this, it happens every year. But anyway, the important thing is we're all here now. Jack Tame is battling with mosquitoes in his room, though, I think. What's happening to Eden Park? Why are they doing so bad at like staying in business? One third of Solomio talks about his latest role, and we're going to keep it musical with the Mockers as well. Before any of that, the big boxing match that's coming up in March.
Before this whole Joseph Parker and Duco events came knocking on your door, what was your understanding of little old New Zealand?
Well, the reputation of being a beautiful place, a great rugby team, not so much a great cricket team, but not bad. Not really a big fight country. Produced some good, decent fighters over the years, but not many greats. And obviously, been following the career of Joseph Parker very closely because he's very relevant to what we're doing. Picked up quite a few of his fights on Sky. So all good. Plenty of love for your country over there.
Look, and I do want to talk about the fight in a moment, but look, just talking to David Higgins and Craig Stanaway, they said that you describe yourself as someone who grew up with a silver spoon in your mouth, but who's turned that silver spoon into a golden one. Is that a fair summation?
Yeah, I suppose so. Look, you know, everybody, you've always got to play the hand that you're dealt, haven't you? And, you know, I was lucky enough to be brought up, you know, in a successful and, I suppose, wealthy family, and that my dad was, you know, son of a bus driver, lived on a council estate himself and carved out a fantastic career for himself in sports promotion. So I spent a lot of my early years travelling around the world with him, but luckily for me, he always instilled that working class mentality in me. So, you know, I wasn't the spoiled kid that just expected everything on a plate. I like to think I work harder than most.
Yeah, I guess if I'm going to be perfectly honest, one of the reasons I'm struggling to get excited about this match is because this guy talks like that. You know what I mean? He really does sound like he's trying to sell me something. And he is, but you know what I'm saying? Anyway, not the only annoying noise on the podcast this morning. Jack Tane's had mosquito troubles.
I thought Mozzie's only bit you once or twice and then they moved on. They can't have big stomachs. How could this thing? Or these things, I thought, how could they still need more flesh? My bedroom window was shut. There was no way for them to be joined by mosquito reinforcements from the outside world. And yet, instead of just dining on me, these little mozzies were enjoying a Jack Tame degustation. 9 courses and the rest. I decided to cut my losses. I put my arms outside of the sheet. I thought, you know what? I'm going to sacrifice some good flesh in the hope that that will fill up the mozzie, that they'll be done, that they'll stop buzzing around my head and just enjoy one last feed on one of my extremities. I pulled the pillow over my head. I thought, well, if I block one ear on the mattress and one ear with the pillow, I won't be bothered. You might remember our bug man, Rude Kleinpass, came on the show last week and said, you know what, maybe we just need to change the way we think about mosquitoes. We just need to learn to love mozzies, to appreciate that a tiny amount of our blood goes a long way in fueling a complex biological ecosystem. He's going to come on today and give us more tips and tricks for dealing with mosquitoes. I lay in bed last night and I tried to channel Rude. I lay in bed for 3 hours and tried to channel Rude. It didn't work.
Yeah, that it is the most annoying thing that can possibly happen to you, isn't it? I had an experience recently. I was staying overnight with some friends and they'd kindly left the window open to cool the room down. But of course, it did mean that the room was then full of mosquitoes. There were several. I actually killed some, which was very satisfying. You do turn into a homicidal maniac eventually. I've never sat there and just pictured myself with Rude Kleinpass or as Rude Kleinpass. Though, I try not to think about him when I'm in bed that much. I'm going to be really honest with you. Now, Eden Park, they're having nightmares. Can't seem to make any money, apparently. What's going on there?
How dire is the financial situation around this famous ground?
Oh, thanks for your time. And as you're aware, the last 12 months has been one of the most successful financial years for the Trust. We posted an operating profit before interest and depreciation of $5.6 million. And furthermore, we invested in upgrades to our food and beverage outlets and the installation of new revenue-generating assets like our Samsung LED technology. So, there's obviously a figure of a $3 million loss that takes into consideration a non-cash item of $8 million in depreciation. And it's obviously critical for us to continue to upgrade the facility. But I do think probably the broader, highlights around the success that we've had over the past 12 months is probably something we'd like to talk to, but also then the greater utilisation of the park.
I like the way he described the Samsung LED technology as an investment. I also tried to use that same argument with the domestic manager when it comes to putting a Samsung television screen in my house. She doesn't seem to think that it is an investment. She doesn't quite see the return at this point, but all right, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. They've invested in Pene Patai, one of the Solomio, one of the three of them, whatever they're called. Anyway, he's going to be in a production of Madam Butterfly.
How is Napier today?
Oh man, it is on fire today. It's beautiful. I came down at a good time.
Do they put you up in a real fancy place right there down on the waterfront so you can get up in the morning, go have a little coffee and walk along and look at the waves crashing in on the shore?
Oh man, I wish. that sounds great.
I would have thought you'd be able to demand like the fanciest place in town these days. Can't you do that?
Oh, you know, I wish I could. You know, I'm just a real chilled out guy. I'm like, you know what, guys, just anything will do. Yeah. And then I get into my place and I'm like, ah, damn.
Fair enough. It's been a pretty big summer for you, though, so getting some sleep would be important. How has it been these last few weeks? You guys have been all over the show.
I know. I'm getting there slowly.
Yeah.
all over New Zealand, but you know, I'm it's going well. I'm getting some good amount of sleep, a lot of singing. I thought I'd have at least a tiny little break, but I guess not. You know, rest for the wicked.
And to show just how cool News Talk ZB is, not only do we cover opera, but we also cover, I'm not quite sure what genre the Mockers fit into, actually, but here's Andrew Fagan anyway.
Andrew Fagan's here because the Mockers are going back out on the road, a new live album coming out.
That's correct, Kerry. So last year, we got together in January last year for the first time in 30 years.
What was that like?
It was quite strange. I hadn't seen Tim, the keyboard player, since 87, you know, literally 30 years. He went straight to Sydney when the rest of us went to England.
Yeah.
And Jeff, the bass player, he went to England with me in 88 and never came back. He's a black cab driver over there. And so it was really fun to have everyone in the same room and then having to relearn the material, you know. And it was very much the same as I remembered back in sort of 85, 86, except when you looked around at each other, everyone looked so different. But the playing's great, you know, and it's an authentic retro 80s sound, you know.
Yes.
Like Tim's recreated all those 80s keyboard sounds, and we've got the drummer from Phoenix Foundation, Chris O'Connor, playing with us, and he's got a great feel, and he knows how to suit whatever songs they are. So it's, in a lot of respects, I think it's sounding better, and I think this live album that we recorded at the Power Station last year, I think it sounds better than a lot of the original recordings, because in a lot of respects they were, you know, that 80s production was something that you either liked or you didn't, you know, and there was those big keyboard sounds, big snare, drum sounds, no cymbals was sort of the way it was done. And I was never really that keen on the recordings. It was always more fun, and we were a good live band, you know, but the recordings always seemed to be like, it didn't quite capture the best of the songs. But I think this live album does, you know. I think because it's live and it's everyone's playing maybe better than they did.
Really?
Yeah.
And I suppose there's increase, you know, improvements in technology as well.
Which, yeah, and also like Brett Adams, the guitarist, and Tim Whitty, I mean, they've been playing for years. Brett plays with Tim Finn and all sorts of other people, and he's got real control of his effects unit, if you like, and he's running a lot more pedals, you know, than he used to, and has that control. So you're getting a better sound, you know, as a guitarist, and also the keyboards. Tim's very competent, you know, and Jeff's took his bass guitar off the wall, and he's learnt the songs, and he's got it together as well.
So basically he's saying that they've got better at their instruments they can now play, so you'll enjoy them more than before. Interesting. I am Glenn ZB. Maybe one day I'll get better at making podcasts and you'll enjoy these more too. That has been News Talk ZB, the weekend edition. I'll see if I can get a little bit better every day. Check my progress same time tomorrow. See you then.